JCPenney, right into hardware at Sears. Now, my Sears, I know, it's frustrating. It's been stuck at 160 forever. It seems like it. The stock has hit as high as 167 in June. I think if it gets to 167, it takes off right to 180. And I think that this, which is my largest position for ActionAlertsPlus.com, is my favorite stock right here, right now. This is Real Money. I'm Jim Cramer on Westwood One.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Here's a great reason to open an account with Scottrade. No fee IRAs. No fee to open. No fee to maintain. And should you ever need to close your IRA account, that's right, no fee. And at Scottrade, there's no inactivity fee. Trade only as often as you find opportunities in the market. And get it all for one flat rate of just $7 for online market and limit orders. They have over 250 offices nationwide. Visit them online at scottrade.com or call 1-800-619-SAVE. Member SIPC.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it.
970 KCMD AM Solid State Radio. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
They ought to just call it Monster Ballads 9. I'd listen to a station called Monster Ballads 9.
That's the big new format.
It's already exploding in popularity among women 18 to 44. Is my mic processing different today? Do I sound extra crispy?
Everything
here?
Sounds clear. Yeah.
I think somebody's been...
We can blame it on the weekenders, but we don't have any. Which is a very good thing.
Damn you, Tim Savage. Damn you to hell. All right, there you go. Hello, it's 1 minute and 21 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed yet notably ostentatious studio. I sound all extra masculine today. It's fantastic. I'm never leaving this room. Everything I do for the rest of my life is going to be done from behind this microphone.
Big town, big sound.
All we need is lots of reverb. We're just going to get an echo chamber.
That would make us a Spanish speaker.
Okay. Or Don and Mike. Anyway. How was I doing? Blah, 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 plushly appointed, yada, yada. AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's Monday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here's the other thing about that station. Never mind.
No.
I shouldn't even say it. I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to pull myself right off that off-ramp. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Was it you that I was telling that there's a band called Monster Ballads 9?
No.
They were at the Twilight.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have no idea what they do or what they play or what style of music they perform, but I was driving by the other day, and it was tonight, Monster Ballads 9. I'm assuming it's
maybe
a band.
They were just playing Monster Ballads 9.
Oh, it's fantastic. There really ought to be a station called... Well, because that's more or less what that... Whatever, the mix or mix... I never know. Mix 107...
Mix 107.5.
But is it the mix? Is it like Batman or the Batman?
I think it's just mix.
It's the Batman.
It's not the Batman.
That would be a good station, too.
Off track here. Okay. Well, in any event. And so forth. All right.
Well, I had a whole thing I was going to do, but that's just been, that's been derailed here. All right, 503-733-2970 or Rick at RickEmerson.com if you'd like to engage with us electronically with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, what have you. Oh, is he ill? Has he taken sick? All right, well, let's bring it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our weekend.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
A good friend, mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Well, today I'm a postman in my own neighborhood.
Are you serious? Is that really what you sound like?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Well, this is, no, this really is impressive, though. This is kind of the neither sleet nor, you know, the thing, the other stuff, and the snow and the whatever.
It kept me from my appointed rounds at work, but it didn't keep me from calling into you.
God bless, God bless you, sir. That's finally a man who has his priorities straight in this world.
Although I'm not going to promise anything, though, because I took some of the NyQuil stuff, so I may doze off during the middle of the show.
So you're just sort of drifting in and out of consciousness?
Yeah.
Did you take NyQuil or DayQuil? Do they even sell DayQuil anymore?
They do, but it doesn't have the pseudoephedrine in it, so it just doesn't have the alcohol in it.
It has no way. It has no... The DayQuil... So you're saying that it no longer has pseudoephedrine, or it never did?
I don't think it ever did. I think it just doesn't have the alcohol.
I see. That was now.
DayQuil is 10% alcohol.
Now I'm curious about it, because here's the thing about DayQuil. I used to I took DayQuil. I don't know, like once or twice. And the thing is, there's certain drugs that just I can't take, because like Alka-Seltzer is like this, the nighttime Alka-Seltzer, because I'm just real sensitive to some of that stuff, and I will take like a half dose, and it will still make me all hungover. Like when Laura and I went to L.A. a couple weekends ago for the Supernova taping, when I was coming out of that horrible like walking death flu that I think you've now got, and I had to sleep well because I knew I wasn't gonna be able to sleep on the plane, and it's like we couldn't check into the hotel till 3, so I just had to be rested. So I took a half dose of nighttime Alka-Seltzer, and man, I mean, even at a half dose, the next day, I mean, it's like I was awake, but I couldn't really function. I was slurring all my words and whatnot. And I remember just sort of being much younger when I was in radio, just I would get sick, and you know, you couldn't afford to take a day off, and there's, you know, you weekender, and so you had to get hours wherever you could, and so you had to come to work even if you felt like crap. And so I would take DayQuil occasionally just to try to cut through the fog. And my recollection of it is that DayQuil, well, let's work backward from this. First of all, NyQuil puts you to sleep, hence night, you know, it sounds like nighttime, NyQuil. And as I always note, there's a reason when you watch the NyQuil commercial that they show the guy taking it in bed. Because if you take it in the kitchen, that's where you're going to wake up. You're going to wake up at about 8 o'clock the next morning, and you're just going to be sort of sitting there with drool running out of your mouth, laying in a puddle of your own filth. And they'll just, I mean, you'll just wake up wherever you put the spoon into your mouth. So DayQuil, as I understood it, was not a product without the depressants. In other words, it was not sans... whatever it is that makes you go to sleep, whether it's alcohol or whatever, it was just packed with speed. So DayQuil was just NyQuil packed with a stimulant as well, which was doubly confusing to your body, because like half of you was trying to go to sleep, and then the other half was twitching from all this amphetamine or whatever that they had in it. So, but maybe that's not the case anymore, because as I noted a couple weekends ago when I was so sick, or a couple weeks ago, you can no longer buy anything that's actually effective for your cold anymore. At least...
But our more civilized neighbors to the north, up in the Coos,
right?
You can.
Now, we were never... Do you live in Washington or Oregon? You live in Oregon, right?
I live in Oregon, but I made the drive across the river.
Now, see, but is that illegal? If you drive into Vancouver and buy Sudafed that has pseudoephedrine for the sole purpose of bringing it, but not that you would ever do this, because you're a government employee, and therefore you've sworn your allegiance and oath to our leaders. But... if someone like you were to drive to Vancouver for the sole purpose of buying pseudoephedrine, which is illegal here without a prescription, and bringing it back, is that, I mean, and the question is that in fact a felony, because you're actually crossing a state line with a controlled product?
Well, here, this is one for the information and for medical necessity and all that, blah, blah. I actually asked the pharmacist this. She said she sees, because you have to show ID, because up in Vancouver, it's a federal law that all the pseudoephedrine products now have to be kept behind the counter.
Right, which is how it was here up until a couple months ago.
So you have to take the thing to the register and show them your ID.
Right.
And you can only buy a limited number of them. They're not going to sell you 10 boxes. So you can go home and make your math.
Sons of bitches.
But...
asking for a girly magazine.
You're like Ron Howard in American Graffiti. I'll take a comb and toothpaste, 55 boxes of Ephedrine. All right, and so what? But did she say you could take it home?
I asked. I said, so do you see a lot of people from Portland coming up? And she said, yeah. And I said, so is it against the law for me to buy this stuff? She said, no, because the law was provided in Oregon that said you can't buy it without a prescription. But there's no law that says you can't take that product across the border.
So you can, so it's like weed, sort of, in that you can, the medical weed, in that you can possess it, you just can't buy it. So if it just appears, so if like ephedrine or pseudoephedrine just appears in your house in Portland, then it's legal.
I would say it's even more so than weed.
All right.
I don't think I'd lump it in with weed. It's
I'm not saying no.
It's not a restricted product in that you can't own it, possess it, or take it. It's just they're just restricting the manner in which you buy it.
It just fascinates me because it's like stuff that I never want to have until the government tells me I can't. And once the government tells me I can't have something, all I want to do is go buy as much of it as possible. Like, I remember when they took those, not that I would ever advocate using any sort of chemical to maintain alertness, but if you remember back in the 90s when they sold that all those big bottles of ephedrine at like every truck stop, and I remember when they finally took those off the market, because those things were... I mean, those were, you didn't want to screw around with those. That was a serious wake me up is what that was. But I remember when they took that off the market, all those ephedrine pills. I remember going to Seattle a couple of weeks after the law had been passed, and they hadn't bothered to clean out the stock yet, and I stopped in to get gas somewhere, and there was like a big, there was like a bit like a case of them behind the counter, and it was so tempting just to buy it because the government told me I couldn't. So, all right, well, here's what we got today. We have, I have obtained, not unlike how one might obtain ephedrine or some similar product, I have obtained the new Weird Al Yankovic album, which is fantastic, by the way. And this is a bold statement, but I believe this may be his best work. This new album, which is called Straight Outta Linwood. I believe the new Weird Al Yankovic album may, in fact, be his best. And it's got, I don't know if you all have seen the track listing for the new Weird Al. But, I mean, it's got what must really be considered a masterpiece on it. And I have said for the longest time that the finest of all Weird Al songs was The Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota. Because it's an epic. He may have surpassed that on this record. We'll talk more about that later. Let's see what else. Peter Carlin. That says just confirmed. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian will be joining us later on. The Week in Geek today. Britney Spears' life gets even worse. And we have the sordid past of Scotty J. So we get into that. Plus Clyde Lewis and Lisa Goddard, who sent us a small gift in the mail this morning. So that's what we got, my friend.
Excellent. So you got Lisa Goddard, Clyde Lewis, the Britney Watch. Is it a Britney Watch?
Well, sure.
Okay. Week in Geek, Peter Carlin, and the Weird Al album. I saw the they premiered another song last night on Robot Chicken.
Which song did they play?
Weasel Stomping Day.
Weasel Stomping Day is good. There's this song called Pancreas, which is fantastic. I'll try to play that today. We'll play probably White and Nerdy again, and I'll try to play Pancreas, which is off the, because there's a Peter Carlin connection there. So
now, is there one that's a Green Day cover?
Yes, Canadian Idiot. Which is okay. Canadian Idiot is okay. The only thing wrong with this Canadian Idiot song is there's nothing wrong with it. It's just one of those ones that seems so obvious. You know what I mean? It's like that took about 5 seconds to think of. American Idiot, Canadian Idiot. There you go. Bam. Done. So, but there's this track. It's the second to last track on the album, though. This pure genius. And we'll try to get to that. So there you go. And so this... So that I'm not going to overtax you with things. That's what we're going to get through today, my friend.
Cool. I will try to stay awake
fantastic.
Hey, I did want to one more thing, because since I won't call in during the Weird Al when you're talking about the Weird Al album.
Yes.
It comes out tomorrow, and I'm like you. I've got much love for Weird Al. There's a song I think you played it months ago, and it's his take on that James Blunt.
Oh, that you're pitiful.
You're Pitiful. It is not on the album.
Right. Atlantic Records made him pull it. Atlantic Records sent him a letter. And the thing is about Weird Al, people don't really understand this. Weird Al doesn't need permission to parody a song because parody is protected by the First Amendment. You don't have to pay royalties. You don't have to do anything. You don't need permission. But he has this, it's an etiquette thing with him that if someone doesn't give him permission, he won't do it, which is why he's never done a Prince song because Prince asked him not to. Da-da-da-da. So James Blunt, though, his label, they clearly know that that's the biggest song and only song that guy's ever going to have, and they don't want it sullied. So Weird Al had that, was going to be the lead single, that You're Pitiful. And he got a letter from Atlantic Records saying, like, please don't, please, come on, please, please. And so he pulled it off the record, which is why if you watch the video for White and Nerdy, there's a scene where he's shown defacing the Atlantic Records entry in Wikipedia with the words, you suck, in huge letters. That's why he does that.
Right, and the fact that James Blunt didn't have a problem with it, so because James Blunt didn't mind him doing it, he put it on his website, and he says, please come on my website and download this song and make it an extra bonus track for your CD.
No, it's great. Yeah, no, it's...
You can get that song on weirdal.com.
Right. There you go. Enjoy your medication, sir.
I will.
All right, there you go. It's Mailman Chris.
He won't be calling back today.
No, he won't. That's it. There you go. That's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen.
So don't feel obligated to do any of this stuff.
No, that's the thing. And he'll just be sitting there in his own hallucinatory paradise all day. So I could just claim I've done all manner of things.
You didn't hear that?
No. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone. How you doing?
Hey, I guess Greg Kinnear and Morgan Freeman are filming a movie, like right down the street from us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We should go rush them.
Do they need extras?
I don't know.
What kind of movie could Greg Kinnear and Morgan Freeman possibly be filming
right
together?
On the park block, though.
I can't fathom what kind of genre would bring them both together.
The street I live on in Southeast Portland is blocked off, too, for movie filming today and tomorrow.
Is it something bad? Is it the same thing?
I don't know. I'm assuming it must be, because obviously, you know, they're filming...
So Portland would love.
Yeah, is it that... Now, are they filming that Sean Penn thing now that there was that casting call for?
I thought that was done.
It might be. Didn't participate.
So this is downtown, or this is down the street from us that they're doing this right now?
Down the street. Well, down on the park block.
All right. So if anybody is down near the park block...
We'll get a picture of Greg Kinnear.
Seriously. Well, and call us and tell us if you see what's going on, if you find out what's going on. Apparently, the park block's Morgan Freeman and Greg Kinnear filming something.
This is very exciting.
I would say maybe go to Park and Hoyt.
Yes. Yes, do that now.
Maybe just swing by that area.
Do it now.
South Park block.
Call us and let us know the deal. All right. People calling in about this. Well, undoubtedly, that's what that is. All right, so if you're in a park watch area, we want to... Well, that's
what we're here for.
We're giving information to the people. That's what we do. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Bill Clinton blows a gasket on Fox News. Unarmed Canadian border guards desert their posts as an armed and dangerous Californian approaches. It'll take the Canadian government 10 years to give guards guns. Lip gloss and hand creams are allowed back at the airport with some restrictions.
Yeah, but...
Too late for some people.
Sorry.
Please, let's start on a whole airplane thing again.
Seth. I'm reeling it back in.
Okay. Keep talking, Tim.
Is that it?
Yes, that
you ended on an upward inflection. I thought there was one more to come.
No, I'm going to keep people in suspense.
No, I'm just gonna know this. My only observation about the airplane thing until Tim reads it, at which point I promised to limit myself.
And I'll make
to,
it quick and painless.
Two angry sentences. Is that? And I think I mentioned this when it all happened. Is that I have the two bottles of KMS? Isn't that what that brand is? KMS, that hair product. They sell it at Bishop's. Anyway,
yeah.
I had like two things of hair products. One that was almost empty, one that was almost completely full, and like an idiot, I took the full one on the airplane. So that's the one they took away from me. It's a good thing it only cost $14 a bottle. All right. Is it warm in here?
Oh, it's cold.
It's cold where I am.
Okay. All right.
Smokey did say you seem a little heated today. Maybe
I'm fine. I'm absolutely perfect. No, I'm not perfect, but I'll live with it. I'll play through the pain. Doesn't matter. All right. And so forth. Are these people calling about the film? All right. Oh, this is, let's see. Tim, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing? This is Timothy. I called in about that recovery question a couple weeks ago, the heroin methadone.
Oh, that's right. You were the methadone guy.
Yeah, I'm the methadone guy. And it is a disease. But back to the film. I went to a casting call yesterday. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts and Rutgers in filmmaking, and I got myself in the new Brad Pitt movie. It's actually not completed yet. They're still filming on October 7th. Saturday, about 10 days from today, over at Reed College. They're doing a group scene. It's like a college commencement scene. And basically they want us to dress up in tan and pastel colors so it looks like we're shooting in Georgia in the summertime.
Wait a minute. So there's a Brad Pitt film here.
Yeah, by Sean Penn. He's the director. And Brad Pitt's in the movie.
Okay. Oh, that's what we saw the casting call for.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what that casting call was. So did you go to that casting call we mentioned the other day?
Exactly.
All right, okay.
I was over at the Embassy Suites yesterday in Tigard.
All right, okay.
And they're almost done with the shooting for most of the scenes. I think they have one more day of shooting. But they're going to do the scene that I'm going to be in at Reed College on the 7th of October.
Excellent. Very exciting. All right, cool. All right, well, let us know how it goes, sir.
You guys have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That's him. All right. So we got all that coming up. We'll get to Lisa Goddard. We got Clyde Lewis, and we have a big pile of. And then I've got this email from. Let's see. This is from. Well, I won't give the guy's name away yet. He says, Rick, about Scotty J. Do I ever have stories for you about Scotty J. involving New Orleans, the Hustler Club, and massive amounts of money? Not that I was there or anything, but I can certainly retell the story. Need to ask Scotty J about these three things. So there you go. So we'll find out. No, it's not him. Scotty's guessing who this is from. Oh, it's somebody else. And I'm fine, by the way. I'm not persnickety. I'm a little persnickety. But I'm going to get past it. It's okay. I'm not going to worry about it.
Have to do with airplanes, I'm totally cool.
No, it has nothing to do with anything. It's two things, real quickly. It's A, that I slept really badly last night, and here's the thing. If one of you is sleeping really badly, that's bad enough, but if both of you are sleeping badly, it's the worst, because what it is, I don't know, because if both people in the bed are sleeping poorly, which we were last night, then it guarantees that you will never, ever, ever get to sleep, because it's a law of nature that as soon as one of you is finally drifting off, then the other one will just start churning around in bed somehow. So I got like, I don't know, I would guess like a cozy 3 hours of sleep, and then I got to go out tonight. That's the other thing. And you know what a big fan of going out and... You want a friend of going out?
Why do you have to go out?
Because Lauren's got some friend of hers that's got a thing going on. And the problem with it is that if you're me, or let's say Tim, and you're a person who just, when the end of the day comes, you just want to vanish back and hang upside down in a cave somewhere and not speak to anybody until the next day. The problem, when the event is put at the end of the day, like way in advance, like on Saturday when Lars says, okay, now Monday night, don't forget you're going out with so-and-so, then it's like, it's just a thing it's like having a dental appointment at the end of the week. On the one hand, you got to slog through the week. On the other hand, when you get to the end of the week, you know... It's like having a long, arduous journey at the end of which a guy stabs you in the eye. You know what I mean? So it's like you go through the entire day, get all the work done, and at the end of the night, do I get to go home? Do I get to sit? Do I get to relax? Do I get to unwind? Do I get to do nothing? No, I have to go home, and then I have to go back out again. And she told me in advance, this is the other thing, because we went out with some friends of hers last night, and apparently apparently I was not my sparkling self. So she warned me last night as we got home from... We went out with some friends of hers last night, and when we got home, she said, you better not be like this tomorrow. When we go out on Monday, you better be sparkling. And I'm not even really sure what that means, except it conjures up images of me dressed like Dorothy Hamill. So I don't really know what sparkling actually, what that entails. But apparently I've got to be sparkling. So there's no pressure or anything on me tonight. I've got to be charming and witty when we go out this evening. Last night, apparently, I was a dullard.
Uncharming.
I was uncharming. Well, I was just... We went to this... We went to some... What's it called? Some bar called... Do you know where the basement is?
Oh, I love that bar. Yeah.
So we went there last night with some friends of hers. By the way, I will have to report two things about the basement. A, they've got the worst jukebox I've ever seen in my entire life. Really, it's like when I die and I go to hell, that's what the jukebox is going to be. It's going to be the jukebox from that place. Just stocked with endless hipster albums that I couldn't possibly care. And just to tantalize you, one Black Sabbath album. One Black Sabbath album and then endless records by Elvis Costello and like Modest Mouse. That's it. So I just had to resort to playing Iron Man over and over and over again all night. And then I went into the bathroom. The bright spot there, going to the bathroom, right above the toilet, big AM970 sticker.
I put that there.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
That's in the men's room?
Well, there are two bathrooms. I put them on the on the walls and on the toilet paper.
Yeah. No, it's great. See, because normally, now, I've seen some of those and they get taken off. They get removed. But that one is still there.
Because I don't usually put them up in bathrooms. That's the one place that I did.
I've seen them at Dante's. And don't get me wrong, it's not like I've put it up, but I've gone into Dante's before and there have been stickers from our station and then they'll be gone the next week. Which is bizarre when you consider the fact that they don't take anything else down. Like, band stickers stay up, but ours get removed for some reason. But yeah, so that one is still there, which is fantastic. And I will also note that I've actually seen a couple of them around town. I've actually twice now, because we've only had the sticker, I don't know, a couple months or so. And we don't have, we're not like a lot of stations where we have sticker stops happening every day. So I've actually seen a couple of them around town, which is very cool. I tried to take a photo of one the other day. I was driving along on the, whatever the hell, 39th. And I was driving along, and a truck pulled out in front of me, like by that Rite Aid. And he's driving down the road, and I noticed he had an AM970 sticker. And so I'm driving with my left hand, fumbling around in my pocket with my right hand, trying to take a picture of the sticker, and realizing that all I'm doing with every passing moment, I'm just tempting fate and ensuring that I'm getting some hideous automobile accident. And all I got out of it was a blurry picture, like, as he turns right, and I'm sort of like going, and sort of flanking around with the camera, and it's just a blur. It's a blur and like a tiny little like red splotch that one might be able to identify as a sticker. All right. Well, let's break here. We'll come back. We've got Nathan on the corner, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Later on, Clyde Lewis and the AM 970 New News Area. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
If you would like to advertise on AM 970, contact the lovely
Dean Snyder
at 503-222-1011. Buy our station or die. This is AM 970. Solid State Radio. If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah.
She's given us a way to catch Osama. Just find the cave that has cable, for God's sakes. There can't be that many caves that get Fox News.
Or the one with a little dish sitting outside the entrance of the cave.
Sean Hannity always know what makes Osama bin Laden laugh. Which Democrats make him laugh. Just find the cave that sounds like it has a slumber party going on. Which cave is the giggling coming out of? Oh, Lord God. Yeah, they were in Iraq. You know, Bill O'Reilly said that Wichita, but okay, that was an amazing confluence of just macho stupidity. And you know what they had, Jim? They only had one a tool of jihad, and that is the boots.
Ooh.
They had the jihad boots.
They go well with factor slacks.
It's all about the footwear.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller. Yeah. Mornings at 6, only on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Look, it's been a long day. You just got off work. You're tired. Wouldn't it be nice to find a place that you can unwind and blow off some steam? Well, if you haven't been to Jiggles yet, you should really consider checking them out. They've just remodeled and are without a doubt the perfect place to relax after a hard day of work. You can watch the show on one of their two stages, treat yourself to a VIP dance, or just enjoy some good conversation with one of the beautiful girls at Jiggles. With over 80 girls on the schedule, that shouldn't be hard to do. So stop making excuses. Stop by on your way home today and see why Jiggles has been Portland's number one 18 and over gentlemen's club for over 20 years. Just take I-5 to exit 289 in Tualatin. Look for the big Jiggles sign. Open Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. till 4 a.m. on the weekends and from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Sundays. The best wiggles are at Jiggles.
This weekend, the most spectacular event is happening at only one place in the entire Northwest. It's the $39 Used Car Advantage Sale at Metro Auto Wholesale, the largest used vehicle dealer in the state. Metro Auto Wholesale has been exclusively chosen to sell over 500 vehicles from bank repossession, lease return, pre-owned cars from auctions across the state. These are 95 and newer vehicles, most still under factory warranty, and they include all makes and models, imports, and domestics.
For only $39 down,
you can simply make one small payment and the vehicle is yours. Only at Metro Auto Wholesale, 73rd and Southeast Foster Road. During this $39 used car advantage sale, you can pick your car and pick your payment. Don't worry about past credit problems. All credit applications will be accepted. Metro Auto Wholesale's on-site lenders will instantly approve your credit and pay off your trade, no matter how much you owe. Over 500 vehicles, $7 million in inventory. And for just $39 down, you can pick your car and pick your payment. Don't miss the $39 used car advantage sale. Only at Metro Auto Wholesale, 73rd and Southeast Foster Road. $39 down based on approved credit. You Metro Auto Wholesale's expanded inventory in person or at MetroAutoWholesale.com.
If you haven't heard the Don and Mike show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. And do you think I'm retarded, speaking of football, for pre-ordering my Madden 2006 already?
No, it's what you love. It's even the thing, it's your passion.
It's not going to be out until August, and there's no guarantee that I'm going to get it in the mail any faster than if I had just gone to Best Buy and waited in August.
If you can't buy a Harley like me, you know, go ahead and get your
Xbox.
Absolutely.
Thanks for emasculating me. Thanks.
Maybe you can buy a motorcycle
game. Thanks very much.
A motorcycle game. Maybe you can do that while I'm out on the open road. I'm a hog.
Motorbike.
I could buy a
motorbike. Suddenly, you've put me on the streets of Rome.
Well, you're right.
My scooter. You've made it a scooter.
That's okay. You've emasculated me. You lived.
I'm sorry.
That.
I did not mean
that's
to do
okay.
that.
That's okay. Because you're right. You got one.
Let's listen. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Weeknights at 7. Only on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt? Sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees, having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars. No, this isn't bankruptcy or one of those consumer credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. It's Credit Card Relief. We have an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. We provide a complete credit analysis and free consultation with a local participating program attorney. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free and the relief is real.
Call 1-866-808-3939. 1-866-808-3939. That's Credit Card Relief. 1-866-808-3939. 3939.
Put your business in front of Portland's most rabid audience. Call Dean Snyder at 503-222-1011 and make the best decision of your life by saying, I want to advertise on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Tonight, Miami's deadliest gang has the world's newest weapon.
It's a gun that shoots around the corner.
These are weapons from warfare. New CSI Miami, CBS Tonight.
This is the Rick Emerson Show. AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. I'd like to thank, let's see, this is the third one of these I've gotten today. This is from Kip. My name is Kip anyway. Good morning. Thought you, Sarah, and Tim might like to start your Monday morning with this. This is a quote from, this is from Rahm Emanuel. Who used to work for the Clinton administration, is now a representative from Illinois. He says, quote, this is from Representative Rahm Emanuel. Unfortunately, this report, which is this New York Times report, is just confirmation that the Bush administration stay the course approach in the Iraq war, blah, 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 blah. It's time for... What is it time for, Sarah? According to Representative Rahm Emanuel from Illinois?
Oh, I do not know, Rick.
It's time for a new direction in this country, says Representative Rahm Emanuel, Illinois. In this statement. And he says, wish you and the show continued success. Thanks for the laughs. Thank God you were finally, thank God you were podcasting. Thank God you figured out the Pink Floyd reference in the comic book store commercial. I was screaming at the radio. So we've got that. I don't know where the other ones went. You can go to rickemerson.com, by the way. We got three different new direction stories today. This is one of them. There's another one that was, it was Ted Kennedy. Ted, you can tell that there's some Democratic talking point that's come out, because Ted Kennedy referred to it being time for a new direction in America. And if you go to rickemerson.com, you can actually see a graphic. We had a listener, I believe her name is Joanna or Joan or something. It's at rickemerson.com. She donates to the DNC, to the Democratic National Committee. And they sent her a big spam this weekend, like asking her for more money. And then right in the spam is a huge, it's just a huge JPEG. And it says, it's time for a new direction in America. And vote Democrat right beneath that. So that's the Howard Dean thing. All right. So should I take whoever this is? All right. Nathan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, oh, what's up?
So this is basically like a message for Tim. I think that's his name, the kid who's trying to get into radio.
Tim is the would-be broadcasting student, yes.
Okay, I was talking with Bozick this morning, and KUFO is your sister station.
This is,
right?
Yeah, Dan Bozick from KUFO, yes.
Yeah, I was talking with Bozick this morning, and aside from the fact that he's a great DJ, he apparently is a one-man show. He doesn't have any producers or interns or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of extra room in the studio. And so Tim should, like, try to ingratiate himself to Bozick and go down there and learn from one of the masters.
Yes.
Since there's obviously plenty of room in the studio.
Well, I don't know. Because we're all on the same time as that guy, so I've never really had a chance to listen to him. But so that's that station.
I listened to before I started listening to you.
Now that station's got you know, the thing is we poke a lot of fun at music radio, but KUFO is actually a pretty great station. They've got a personality at least, which is more than you can say for the vast majority of music stations in this city or anywhere. And they don't use extra apostrophes in their logo. All right. Anywho, it's five. Never mind. I'm not going to get off and do a whole thing. All right. Thank you, sir.
Not a problem. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Boy, way to crack the whip. Miss Sarah yelling at Scotty. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome from... welcome now from CNN Radio in Washington. On the Hill, our good friend Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hello, how are you?
We're fantastic. Are you able to hear this music?
Let me see it. Play it. Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you have the... I don't have the note here in front of me, but this is...
I have it right here.
This is... I came in this morning, there was a large package waiting for me, and it said from Lisa Goddard. Now, you did not tell us you were going to be sending us this.
No, I did not.
What is this, and where did you get this music?
You know, I picked this up when I was in the Middle East. I was in Israel.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think you guys were trying to play some vaguely, like, Middle Eastern music. It sounded kind of like it was from Pakistan. I felt like it was, or Greece. Like, it sounded like it wasn't quite Middle Eastern. So I went for the Israeli hip-hop.
That's fantastic.
Is what I forwarded you guys. This is apparently a very hot group in Israel. I knew the residents of Portland would appreciate their skills.
It is... I'm glad you finally found something to play, because the only thing I was able to find, and you're right, when you were in the Middle East, we were trying to find, I think all we found was some, you know, it was like ambience music for like Greek restaurants or something. That was about it.
Right.
And then Scotty J, our intern, he finally found, what was that thing you found, Scotty? It was the Muppet Show theme being sung in Hebrew. That was the closest we could get. That was as far as we were able to get for ethnic diversity in the Rick Emerson Show, because it is, you know, where does one go for appropriate music? So this is, do you know the name of this group?
Oh, you got me. I did know it, and I've forgotten it now.
That's okay. And so the note here from Lisa.
Here, Rick, this is the group.
It's written in Hebrew on that, so I don't remember.
Thanks. Might as well be written in Klingon.
Chevette.
Chevette? Is that what they're called? Oh, I don't know. All I know is that it's because it's written in Hebrew, so everything's backward. And
that's
so it's
right.
Like...
Right, you have to read it going the other way.
Yeah, and so it was like my puny American brain was all flummoxed this morning because the CD opens backward, of course, and it's all very confusing. All I know is that there's this really hot girl on the front
of it. That's what I was going to say. I knew, you know, I had to pick from many a CD, and let me tell you, there's a hip-hop group that has some frightening white men on the cover looking all Vanilla Ice, only scrawnier. But I sent you this one. I thought you would appreciate...
No, I do have sort of a... I do have something of a known weakness for Jewish girls, though. So there you go.
She's a cute girl in that group. Yeah,
she really is. And it says this note from me says, I've been hanging on to this, hoping there would be a huge Israeli hip hop fad, but so far no. So anyway, so thank you for giving this to us. So we will find a good use for this CD, Lisa Goddard.
Absolutely.
All right. So, well, speaking of the Middle East, so there's the New York Times and the White House. In fact, I was just watching, what was it? It was the Daily Show the other day, and they were talking to Daniel Ellsberg, who, of course, was, you know, from the Pentagon Papers years ago under Nixon. And the White House and the New York Times do not have what might call a happy and healthy relationship. They have something of an adversarial connection that goes back many, many years. But so the New York Times has said now, And they've said that according to classified documents that the Iraq war has worsened the terrorist threat to the United States. And, of course, then the White House just reflexively says, no. And, you know, and then Tony Snow puts his fingers in his ears and hums London Bridge. And then we all, you know, and then we all go for lunch. So my question is, by what criteria does one even determine whether or not the Iraq war has made the terrorist threat worse? Like, how can you even assess that?
Well, this is actually something called the National Intelligence Estimate, and this is a document produced by all of the major intelligence agencies in the United States. So it's a big deal. This has had input from the CIA, from the NSA, from the Defense Intelligence Agency as well. And they have concluded, according to these leaked reports, now this is again, CNN does not have this separately, this is from the New York Times and from the Washington Post, and I give those guys full credit, that they are reporting that this estimate by these intelligence agencies says that the Iraq situation has made things worse, that Iraq has become, in fact, a breeding ground for terrorism, and that it has allowed terrorists in other parts of the world to also point to Iraq as motivation and incentive for recruiting.
And so what is the general consensus, that it's that Saddam just had everybody kind of under an iron fist, and so he was a, how do I put this, that he was a terrible guy, but that he was sort of the only terrible guy, and now there's a whole lot of little terrible guys running around?
You know, I don't know. I do know that this intelligence estimate is a very large document. It doesn't deal just with Iraq, but apparently the sections that have been leaked are the ones that deal with Iraq, which is what Republicans and the White House are complaining about. But I don't know if it talks as much about Saddam as much as it says that Iraq, by invading Iraq, by the U.S. having a presence there, and by that presence, by things not getting dramatically better in Iraq quickly, that terrorist forces have been able to point to that and say, look, America wants to invade the Middle East, and they're starting.
Well, I mean to be really fair, though, I mean, you got to figure that anybody who is any terrorist force or anybody who's got a vested interest in hating America probably doesn't need our presence in Iraq as an excuse. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, before this, what were they pointing to? Osama bin Laden's big rallying cry was the U.S. presence in Saudi Arabia,
sure,
which we did pull out of, essentially. And so they really didn't have that to point to as much. You know, they could have pointed to our, you know, just, you know, amoral ways. You know, terrorists are going to say anything they want because they hate this country. But what this report is saying, according to the Post and the Times, is that Iraq has really given them ammunition that they might not have had otherwise.
All right. Hey, just on a quasi-related subject, what is the general, I think it was Newsweek, and maybe I actually haven't read Newsweek in the longest time, but Newsweek, I believe it was, used to have this little feature on the inside, and it was called the conventional wisdom chart.
Okay.
And it was whether it was the conventional wisdom on someone or a subject.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That they were either up, down, or flat. In other words, that they were either, you know, that their stock was either going up or down, or that everybody was nonplussed. What is the conventional wisdom on Bill Clinton this morning, who went on Fox in, and here's the thing, if you were like living in a small cage over the weekend and didn't hear about this, so Bill Clinton goes on Fox, he's being interviewed, and clearly Bill Clinton is so much smarter than like 80% of the people on this planet, and the plan must have been all along for him to go on Fox knowing that they would poke at him and provoke him, thus letting him just sort of unload on those guys, I believe probably to the benefit of Hillary Clinton. And so, I mean, what are people saying about him this morning? Because there's so much drudge just talking about how good Bill Clinton went nuts on Fox television and everything. What are people kind of saying about him today?
Yeah, that one has scattered all kinds of which ways. A lot of Democrats, of course, saying, bravo, it was time that Clinton fought back against allegations that he let Osama bin Laden go. And a few moderate Republicans are saying that, too, that it's time to just look for the future and that this was a setup. Now, in that interview, Bill Clinton really, his reaction in his words indicated that he did think the interview was about something else. It was about his and his wife's initiative for global dialogue, which they had over the last week. So he indicated that he felt like he'd been sucker punched. But regardless of what he knew or what he expected, I think most people here in Washington think it was a pretty powerful performance. It was sort of vintage Bill Clinton. You know, Bill Clinton in a corner is better at getting himself out of it than anybody.
You know, the great thing about Bill Clinton, though, is he is just, I mean, I don't want to just traffic and sort of tired, trite generalizations about the guy. But the thing is, no matter what side of the issue he's on, no matter whether he's guilty, no matter whether he's innocent, no matter whether he's up to it, you know, up to his eyeballs in it, that guy just summons up righteous indignation like nobody's business. I mean, it's like he's just got... It really is just, he's a savant when it comes to that. I mean, there's really nobody does righteous anger like Bill Clinton. I don't know, maybe it's like a, maybe it's a Southern thing. I don't know.
It's you know, even going so far as to say, you know, to the host, you know, I see that smirk on your face, you know, which, and then they go to the wide shot and you can see the guy does have a smirk on his, but then he doesn't know what to do.
Oh, it was a classic shot. I saw a still frame from it this morning, and the guy was indeed smirk, and I... Here's the thing: is I have to believe that the Democrats, and I know we're wildly off the subject that you called about today, but the Democrats have got to believe, they've got to be aware of the fact that even though Kerry got hosed in the last election, that there was so much momentum against George W. Bush, and specifically so much momentum that gathered behind Howard Dean, largely because of his sort of blunt spokenness. I mean, they can't be blind to that. There's got to be somebody.
No, and here's the scary thing for Democrats, too, this year, is they know that they are within fingertips of getting the House and maybe even the Senate, but the House is really within their reach. But this is how bad things are, in a way, for Democrats. This is how nervous they are about their own abilities. I know several Democratic staffers telling me, well, we think maybe it might be better if we don't win the House because we're nervous that we're going to blow it because we don't trust our House leadership to get the job done, and we would rather have, we don't want to blow it before the 08 election.
But there's right there.
Oh, yeah.
In a nutshell, in a microcosm, that's the problem, yeah, with Democrats. Listen, it sounds like a parody of Democratic viewpoint. Well, we're afraid to win because I don't know that we'll be able to control. You will never, ever, ever, you could live to be a skillion years old and you will never hear a Republican lament the idea that he might win something.
No.
Oh, man. I mean, if ever anybody needed to isolate and to distill exactly what's wrong with the Democrats, that's it, man. That's why people are so disgusted with them, because they're just, it's an entire party composed of beta males. Good God Almighty. All right, Lisa Goddard, thank you again for the CD. We'll find an opportunity to use that.
Okay, great.
Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent, thank you. All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. I was so excited to get a package from Lisa Goddard this morning. It was great. All right.
I bet you were.
I'm going to put this sticker down over here because this extra apostrophe is driving me crazy. All right. And you got, here's the thing about this. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to.
Well, you would
say
have
this.
Thought somebody would have caught it.
I'm just going to say this.
I've never seen that sticker before.
When you're making. Oh, that's not the only one.
There's millions of them.
It's not the only one. You would think that when you were making some sort of a promotional sticker, it's got to go through, I don't know, I would say at least 5 layers of management. It's got to go past a proofreader. It's got to go past a copy editor. It's got to go past a graphic design person. It's got to go past the goddamn guy at the sticker factory. You'd think at some point somebody would observe that there's not supposed to be an apostrophe when you're referring to a decade. That's okay.
That's one of the things that you were taught in the schooling.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to dwell. All right. All right. So we've got, here's what's coming up. I got to get to this big pile of gossip here. I'm looking at the clock. So we'll do this big pile of gossip crap here. Top of the hour, we have the noon news hour. Later on, we have Peter Carlin. We have Clyde Lewis coming up at 12:30. We have the sorted past of Scotty J, etc. So no, and I'm
sorted past of Scotty J.
I have the sorted. It's some email from a friend of his who wants us to quiz him about. And I'm quoting now. In fact, well, let's just find out now, because otherwise it's just going to nag at me.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty. He looks like he has a secret he's hiding.
Scotty J, how are you?
Don't we all?
How was your weekend?
It was great.
All right. How's Mrs. J?
Great.
How are you and Mrs. J? Did she like
your... Is the pillow barrier still gone?
No, it's been broken down.
Did she... Oh, I don't want to hear about that. Did she like your facial scrub on Friday? Did she like your new beaming, radiant appearance?
She thought it looked great.
Having been gone over by the Mary Kay guy? All right. Let's see. So we've got this. This is from David. It says, Scotty J. Ask Scotty J about New Orleans, the Hustler Club, and massive amounts of money. Not that I was there or anything, he says, but I can certainly retell the story, says David. Scotty, what have you to share with us about New Orleans, the Hustle Club, and massive amounts of money?
Well, I'm wondering who this David guy is.
I have no idea.
Could have been a client, could have been a friend. I'm not
sure. Is his last name on there? Can you show it to Scotty?
Yeah, it's right there. No! Do you know who that is?
Yes, okay. I do.
So what happened with you?
Is that a friend or a client?
Friend.
And so what happened with you in New Orleans at the Hustler Club?
My friends always seem to, like, single me out and push me off the mole here, if you will.
Was this the same friend that sent us the picture of you in the Speedo?
No, this is
the
one.
I don't think we've ever adequately explained why you were in that pose to begin with, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment. And is that on our MySpace
page? It looks like underwear.
Is that on our MySpace page, the picture of Scotty J? So if you go to the Rick Emerson Show MySpace account, you can see the picture of Scotty J. We've added a festive hat to his head. But you can see him in a unpleasantly bulging pair of underwear. I don't believe you've ever really adequately explained what you were doing in that picture.
I think I was waking up in the morning, probably had to go to the restroom or something, open up the door, and snap. Took a picture of me. So
here's
the huge surprise.
It does look like you're posing a little bit, though.
And I told him, destroy that photo. I don't ever want to see that.
It almost does look like you're flexing a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about New Orleans and the Hustler Club.
Oh, well, we were down there for a convention. And
what kind of convention is this?
For the computer industry that I work in.
I thought you were in real estate.
No. Wife does that.
What did you do before you were here?
I was a sales rep for computer consultants. They go in and program, you know, major places. They program the software for places like Anheuser-Busch.
And so what did you do exactly?
I traveled all over the United States and I would...
Were you one of those sleazy guys that just, like, rented a hotel room and just, like, had endless bottles of liquor and just brought guys from companies in and got them lap dances so they'd buy your computer software?
That's pretty much it right there. So there's your New Orleans story in the nutshell.
No, why does that not surprise me at all,
The
actually?
Sleazy part, though, you can erase that.
Yeah, okay. So tell us about what happened at the Hustler Club.
Oh, nothing. I mean, we...
Nothing. That seems plausible.
It was one of those nights where, you know, it was really... ripped, I guess you could say, because we were, you know, we were visiting with clients all night, drinking, doing hurricanes, you know. Jimmy Buffett sings about those, by the way.
Okay, yeah. All right. Anyways. And what is your drink of choice again?
My drink of choice is Crown Royal.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're referencing a drink by talking about Jimmy Buffett. That kind of tells us all we need to know about that slice of life and where
and
you live,
Republican.
My friend. And you're a Republican. All right. So what happened at the Hustler Club?
That's pretty much it. I mean, it was just a late night and drunken festivities.
There's massive amounts of money.
Yeah, what did you do with those massive amounts of money?
Well, there were...
Did you buy them ladies, too?
There were dancers there. And they were dancing.
Did you ever buy dancers for clients?
A couple times, yeah. I didn't
buy
them.
Did you buy dancers for yourself?
I didn't buy them. I just pretty much, you know...
So you got lap dances for clients?
Yeah, basically.
God. Does your wife know this?
Yep, she knows.
Did she... I mean,
did you get lap dances?
Did you ever have to get a lap dance to be one of the boys?
No. But it's basically
with these lap dances.
Just show them a fun time, and then they, you know, they purchase massive amounts of time for consultants. So it's well worth it.
I worked at a radio station where the general sales manager would take all of the clients to lunches at this strip club that was there. And it was like, and the deal is, I mean, it was just, and it was known, as he explained, there were several clients that is like the better, how do I put this? The better he could get one of the strippers to treat the clients, you know, the bigger the contract the client would be willing to sign.
Well,
so if you could get like a table dance, you know, the client would sign, you know, would buy for like a month. You get a lap dance, the client buys it anyway. You get to go in the VIP room. You know, the client is a client for life. So,
all right. It's a bonding thing, you know. And then they continue to buy year after year after year from you.
That's fantastic. All right.
So that's it. I mean,
this didn't involve you. There was nothing in tour that you directly were involved in.
Oh, well, I don't know. I might have to read that piece of paper first.
No, I know. That's all he says. All he says is the Hustler Club. And
then I do still have friends out there.
Huge amounts of money. It's okay. It's all right. I know that. Are there photographs of you from this era?
I don't think so. No.
All right. Well, if there are, they will appear. You know that they will be sent to us. So, do you tell your friends where you work? Do they know that you're here?
I don't like sit there and say, hey, you got to listen, you got to do this. I try to keep it on the low.
You try to keep it on the down low?
That's right.
Is that because you're afraid that there's photos that
maybe,
are going to...
Maybe the past will come up. But I'm not running for president or nothing like that, so I'm not worried.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right,
thank you,
gentlemen. Okay, there you go, Scotty J. All right. So we'll get to it's almost 5:30. So we got a break here in a few. So I'll get to a couple of these. And by the way, if I do sound a little loopy and fuzzy today, and I was talking to Sarah, and he said you slept badly as well. So it's a whole lot of weirdness in the air, just because I feel a little lightheaded today. I got the whole, you know, that thing where you don't sleep enough and then everything's sort of fuzzy. Everything's just a little blurred around the edges. And then the weirdest stuff, it's not just that I was sleeping badly to begin with. It was like this perfect storm of bad sleep last night, because I was sleeping badly and then Lara was sleeping badly too. So every time one of us would begin to drift off, the other one would sort of turn around and wake the other one. And then Max at a certain point just leapt up on the bed and like... landed on both of us. And then in the kitchen, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but in the kitchen of my house, we've got this motion activated trash can. And you know, it's like the trash can, like the germaphobe kind, where you step on the little whatever, you step on the pedal and the lid flips open. It's like one of those, but it's not activated by a pedal. It's a motion sensing trash can in the kitchen. So like, if you got the whatever, you got the small bag of trash in your hand, as you reach towards the trash can, it senses your movement and the lid opens. So it's like, if you don't have... I really don't understand why she even bought it. I think it's one of those things that like, she was at IKEA to buy something else, and it was like one of those end of aisle displays that they tell you to avoid in consumer ed class. There was one of those things they tell you not to, but one of those impulse buys they tell you to avoid. So it's exactly like one of those pedal-activated trash cans, but it's activated by your hand. And so as you reach, like if you've got the Ben and Jerry's thing in your hand, as you're reaching towards the trash, it senses your movement and the lid opens. And then you put the trash inside and then it closes itself. So the weird thing is, it's like 3:30 in the morning last night. I've been up and I've been back to bed and up and back to bed and rolling over and thrashing around, trying to get to sleep. And then just as I'm drifting up, because our bedroom is right off of the kitchen, just as I'm trying to go to sleep at like 3:30 in the morning, and it makes a really distinctive sound when it opens. I'm in the bedroom, Lara's there, and then Max is there as well. So I know where all the sentient beings in the house supposedly are. And at 3:30 in the morning, I hear the of the thing in the kitchen opening. And
ooh, that's 3 o'clock. That's the witching hour,
and
too.
And that'll freak you out when your motion-activated trash can starts opening itself in the middle of the goddamn night.
That is so weird, because my radio turned itself on last night.
Yeah, it's just the end.
In the middle of the night, in the bathroom, for no reason. I was walking in the bathroom, and I heard something in there, and... sure enough, the radio is just blasting.
No.
I just did not want to deal with it. I just turned it off and went back.
And that's one of those things where it's like, and you lay there for a minute and you're sort of half awake and you're like, do I want to get up and check for burglars? Nah, I guess if they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. And I didn't even want to think about it. So I just went back to sleep, because it's either a burglar or it's like some superhuman cockroach. So I just decided to screw it. Well, let's break here. We'll come back. We'll do this Britney stuff et al. Later on. It's 503-733-2... 970-503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. You say that. Back out of this.
To the Rick Emerson Show.
All right, here we go.
On AM 97. Solid State Radio. If you haven't heard the Tom Likas Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. You're afraid. You'd rather jump into another codependent, dysfunctional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, yeah. Find some other person who abuses you or takes up your time or has some problem that you can fix and help them. That way you don't have to think about yourself.
No, I got to get out of it. I can't. Even just for the sake of my kids, I just cannot believe how long I've let this go on. This pisses me off.
Well, then do something about it while you're pissed off.
I'm going to.
What are you
going to
do?
I'm going to tell him, Dave. I'm going to kick him to the curb, and if he can't deal with it, then we'll just take it from there. And if he pushes it, then we'll do whatever it takes.
Let's listen. The Tom Likas Show. Weekdays at 3 on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
And now Bill with the weather.
Thanks, Frank. It's going to be sunny whenever anybody's out running an errand or playing ball, and it will only rain when you're inside your house or at the mall. Back to you, Frank.
If only the weather cooperated a little more with your schedule. Fortunately, Walgreens has the most drive-through pharmacies in America. So when the weather's bad, it's late at night, or you're short on time, you can pick up your prescription and be on your way. Walgreens, the pharmacy America trusts.
When looking at granite countertops or travertine tile, getting the lowest price doesn't always translate to getting the highest quality product. Those ultra-low priced granite countertops tend to give off a cheap, lackluster look, as if setting anything on it will cause it to break like glass. At West Coast Granite and Flooring, their prices continue to be as competitive as any granite and flooring company in Portland, while also being able to provide durable, long-lasting granite countertops and travertine tiling that you'll enjoy for years to come. West Coast Granite and Flooring has a wide selection of prefabricated granite countertops priced 45% less than most local publicators, and flooring that starts at $1.20 per square foot. You should also come check out their showroom, where they have 8x2 granite countertops that start at $99. West Coast Granite and Flooring is located at 7124 Southeast 92nd Avenue. Just take I-205 to the Southeast Foster exit and turn left onto 92nd. Or call 503-252-9000 for more information. That's 503-252-9000. West Coast Granite and Flooring. The only thing that'll break is their prices.
Want to lose weight and keep eating the foods you love? Go for it. Want to bring back the fun of shopping for clothes? Why wait any longer? Just go to the meeting finder at WeightWatchers.com or call 1-800-START-NOW. Come get the tools and inspiration to reach your goals. Discover why people who attend Weight Watchers meetings lose 3 times more weight than those who go it alone. Come to Weight Watchers and watch yourself change.
It's the Safari Show Club, the place to see some of the most beautiful women in Portland every day and every night. But right now, it's time to think about an extra $20,000 in your pocket. That's right. Head on out to...